Okay, I'm going to open us up with prayer. Father God, thank you so much that we can come and just learn and worship together, Lord, about your word and you and who you are. Lord, thank you for your truths that you're speaking to us. I pray for your blessing over this time, that you would speak through me, Lord, that I would not be stumbling through my words, but that your Holy Spirit would guide and teach. And thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be with sisters in Christ in a world that is sometimes crazy and chaotic, and we're coming from all sorts of places. But Lord, I pray that our hearts would just rest in you. And thank you, Lord. Amen. So we're going over, I forgot to change the title at the bottom, but what I entitled The Stumbling Stone, Romans 9:30-10:21. And just as a recap, before we get into these verses, if y'all remember, if y'all studied last week's chapter 9, just Paul's heart for these Jews. And, you know, he says, with great sorrow and unceasing anguish, since he still wishes he could save his fellow Israelites, but only a remnant will be saved. And so many have gone off the right path, right? So just remembering that as he comes to these verses. But he also demonstrates in chapter 9, the sovereignty of God, that he is the creator, that he can have mercy on whom he wills, and he hardens whomever he wills. And this allowed the Gentiles, because of this, God's hardening has allowed the Gentiles to be welcomed into the family of God. So getting into 9:30, Paul is asking the question many are asking, why? Why did the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness by faith attain it, while Israel who pursued the law in order to achieve righteousness did not succeed? Because it was not based on faith. Many of you have heard my story. I've shared it in here a lot of times. So if you have, I'm sorry, but I'm going to tell it again. So I grew up in the church. Like, we were there every Sunday. I always went to youth group. I was in the children's choir. I was the church secretary. I literally was like, what else can you do in the church? I was there. But in college, one of our good friends, my husband's roommate, George, just called me out one time and was like, how would you get into heaven? Why would you get into heaven? And I remember the words to this day, said, because I'm good. And that was my answer. Guys, I had grown up in the church. And so I feel these Israelites, you know, they're doing what they think they're supposed to be doing. I got it. Check, check, check. I'm doing all the right things. I'm, you know, the good one that the friend's parents were always like, is Karen going? Okay, you can go, you know, but I was lost. I was wrong. And he was like, George, my friend was like, nope, wrong. And I am so thankful to this day that he did that, because I was lost. And I had stumbled over the stumbling stone, even though I had been in the Bible. And I guess, you know, I don't know if it's just the Holy Spirit wasn't my time or what, but my ears were definitely plugged. So I had zeal. They had zeal. These Israelites, who he's talking to, the Jews, they had zeal, maybe not for God, but for doing the right things, right? And for their religion and for checking off so many boxes. And they were stumbling over the stumbling stone, Jesus. It tells us in chapter 10, verse 4. I'm sorry, I am forgetting my slides. First, my outline, I apologize. I have stumbling without submission. Let me go back, because some of these have subpoints that I did not put in this slide. And I have that as 9:30-10:4. And then salvation for all, which I did break into two groups, confess and believe, 5-10. I apologize. I also made a typo. That should be 10:5-13. And B was no distinction between the Jews or the Greek, which was 11-13. Then my third point was spreading the word, which was 19. And guys, what did I do? Okay, for those of you who listen to the recording, I type all sorts of weird. Okay, so the third one is spreading the word, which was 14 through 18. Can you tell I did this late last night? The slides, not the whole planning. And the fourth was God's steadfast plan, which was 19 through 21. I apologize. Okay, so stumbling without submission, this was the question the Jews are asking. How is it that these Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness by faith attain it, while Israel pursued the law, who pursued the law in order to achieve righteousness, did not succeed? And then again, but in verse 4 it says, Jesus, he is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone who believes. And we mentioned this in our small group. This does not mean that the law is bad, but the law is not what saves you, right? The law for righteousness in order to be saved, Jesus is the end. He accomplishes it all. And taking that away from him takes away all that Jesus has done and who he is for us. In Isaiah 28:16, he says, so this is what the Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. The one who believes will never be shaken. And in our verses in Romans, he quotes part of this in chapter 9, verse 33, when he quotes Isaiah 49:23 and Joel 2:26 and 27, which you guys probably already got. But this is another part. There's several places in the Bible, I'm sure y'all found, that the stumbling stone, it's mentioned over and over. And then again, I jumped ahead. But Psalms 118:22, it says, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. So Kurt recently preached on Philippians 3, and I just thought it was really appropriate here. When Paul, you know, he's giving his heart to these Jews and talking about how much he loves them, but that they're stumbling over the stumbling stone. And then talking about how in Philippians, before this, Paul's saying, I did all of these things. Do you remember how his resume is how I think Kurt put it? His resume and how he did all these things. And then Paul goes on to say, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. Which, do y'all remember what that was? What that translated as? Dung, right? Poop, animal poop, dung, in order that I might gain Christ to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Philippians 3, 7 through 10. So again, he is saying this and showing his love. And this, that we move on to chapter 10, 5 through 13, which is salvation for all. Paul is saying that this is not just for the Jews, but that all who come to him, who come to Jesus, are, and they confess and believe, the word of faith is near to you in your heart and your mouth. Sorry, mouth and your heart. And verses 6 through 8, it's kind of strange wording where it's talking about ascending and descending. And, you know, it was a little confusing. So I dug into that, which is from Deuteronomy 30. Did I have it on here? I did. 30, 11 through 14. For this commandment that I have commanded to you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. So they're talking about what they have to do then, the commandments. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you can do it. And that's talking about the commandments, but they would have known what he was talking about. And now we're talking about Jesus, the word, and him being there, and all they have to do is accept and believe, right? And they don't have to take anything away from what Jesus is doing. And again, how it says that he, you know, that Jesus be brought low or that he have to ascend up. But he's right there. You just have to accept it and believe it. And you have to stop acting as if Christ is not enough, right? Because that was their thing. He was right there. All they had to do was truly believe in the gift of salvation from him. And it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 9. So confessing with your mouth as Lord is the external showing, right? You're showing the world. I had to ponder on this for a little bit, but like, why? Why is it exactly mouth? Because you could say, yeah, I confess. You know, but Paul is saying this because you should share it. It needs to be something open that you're proud of, that you believe is worth talking to other people about. And believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead is the internal portion. Truly believing it in your heart and that you will be saved. Most of you know this verse. But a lot of us know people that have gone to, like, I don't know, youth camp or a really high experience, and they're like, yeah, I believe. And then, you know, maybe they tell somebody that time, and then it's nothing. And we don't know, but it's really hard. We don't know where they are. God only knows if they believe. But this is talking about a change, right? In your mouth you share and in your heart you really believe, and we should see changes, not just like Michelle, I hope you don't mind. Michelle and I are talking about how our kids, you know, they're like, yeah, and they know all the answers to the Bible questions and all this stuff, but we're not living any different from the world, you know, and our kids are not the only ones, but there's a lot of us, and maybe it's us, right? Do we really believe it in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that he died for you and me? Is it internally true and that we're sharing it with other people externally? So is that you? Like, do you believe this and say it and then but live the same way and nothing has really changed? But then you have to ask, do you actually believe it, right? So my next section what he was talking about is the mode of salvation is the same for the Jews and the Greeks, which is amazing. There's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. And again, as we've talked about, this would have been a really big deal for those who have grown up and that we're the nation, we're the blessed ones, we're the, you know, all the blessings have come through us. Jesus came through us. But it's laid out very clearly, and Jesus shares it with us that he came for all to save. But we do have to confess and believe, right? And Jesus is the only way. So the application is Jesus died for everyone, which is great. It's great news for all. But through faith in him alone are we saved. His, you know, we can't take away anything from him. Like us trying to do it on our own, we're taking away the power that only Jesus has. We can't take it away, but we're trying to. So then he goes on from, you know, this is great news. It's great for all. So naturally we need to share it. We need to spread it. They need to know how, and you know, it says in verse that the one I just had up, verse 12, it says on all who call on them. But then he follows it in verse 14 with how are they to call on him if they have not believed? And whom they have not believed, and how are they to believe in whom they have not heard? So he's following that same verb, call on him, and how are they to call on him? So he's saying, we need to share this. It needs to be shared. You've got to spread this good news. And how lovely are the feet of him who brings the good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness, who announces peace and bring good news of happiness. I did it again. Who announces salvation and says of Zion, your God reigns? Isaiah 52:7. I'm sorry, guys. So that is that Isaiah 52:7 is where verse 15 comes from. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. God says multiple times, I mean, it's in the Great Commission, right? We are to go spread the good news. And, but it doesn't guarantee they're going to believe it, but we're still called to do it, right? In verse 16, it's like it's pretty much talking about there's no guarantee that they'll believe, as we can see, but they need to hear the word of Christ and have the opportunity. So our application here is we are called to share this good news. I should have proofed these slides. I'm really sorry. We are called to share the good news, but what does this look like for you? This doesn't mean you have to go to another country, right? Y'all could be the George in somebody's life, to somebody who has gone to church their whole life. And I'm so thankful that George is my life. So, you know, there's people around you every day. I always cry up here. I'm sorry. I get up here, I talk. So really, what does that look for to you? Is it your children? Is it your neighbor? Is it going on missions? It doesn't mean you're not called to do that. But we do. We are called to get speak the good news because it is good news. It is great. And then it leads us to God's steadfast plan, which I know is a kind of a strange way to look at that last section because it sounded pretty harsh. But if you remember, it says, but I ask. I brought the wrong Bible, so this is one of those days today, guys. And I feel like it was spiritual warfare, but it's okay because God is bigger. It says, but I ask, have they not heard? Indeed, they have. And it quotes and it says, but I asked, did Israel not understand? So just repeating, you know, Paul is standing this section out alone. Have they not heard? Indeed, they have. Their voice has gone out to all the earth, the world, the word, and their words to the ends of the world. This passage is from Psalm 19. It's telling how the heavens declare the glory of God and nature is displays his knowledge, right? But even though it is known and nature shows God's, it's not an excuse to not share the good news of Jesus because there's still so many of us, right, that are lost. And we can also know that there's an awesome designer out there, but that doesn't mean we know Jesus, right? So we can't ignore or choose to ignore what we see around us. And people can ignore that, okay, the sun comes up, the sun goes down. Then, you know, there's order in this world. There's obvious signs of a designer. But you can choose to ignore that until somebody points it out. And so we're called to do that. So reflecting back on chapter 9 again, God always has a plan as we go into this part of verses 18 through 21. And his plan, he is sovereign. And we might not understand it, but that doesn't mean it's not a good plan, right? And sovereign is defined as supreme power or authority. Sorry, I'm going to quit that. And God's plan was to harden the Jews in order to bring the Gentiles into the fold of God. We talked about that in chapter 9. But then in verse 21, he's finishing with, all day long I've held up my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. He loves them, even though some of them are hardened. He knows they're not coming. He knows that they've been contrary and disobedient, but he's reaching out and his plan is good because this was the way to bring the Gentiles in, right? It allows the Gentiles to come into the fold of God and then it'll eventually make the Jews jealous and come back, right? So even knowing his plan, God, and the hardening of Israel, he held out his hands. How much more should we hold out our hands to those around us, not knowing his plan for them? It's not our place to say what God's plan is for them, right? Or how far away they are. Or if they're saved, because people probably would have thought, oh, Karen's saved, right? She's good. She's at church all the time, right? So Paul really is, again, calling out to the Israelites that he loves and just saying, you're stumbling, right? This is not, the rock is Jesus. And he is here for everyone. But God's plan is to make you jealous. I will make you jealous to those of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation, I will make you angry. And Isaiah, again, is so bold to say, I've been found by those who did not seek me, and I've shown myself to those who did not ask for me. And so our final applications are, what are you relying on for your salvation? Are you relying on Jesus and Jesus alone? And is Christ your salvation? Have you heard and believed? And if you reject Christ, he is the stumbling stone. If you try to make it anything but Christ alone, you will stumble. And our hearts cry out for you guys just like Paul's hearts, right? And not necessarily you, but everyone who's lost. So Christ is a stumbling block for many, but God's salvation is for everyone who hears and believes. And that was my main point. So, thank you.